Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is from the series, Haggai and Zechariah. Who in the world are these? Two messengers, one message.
Haggai and the prophet saying, it is time for you, O ye that dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, and you bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe, but there is no one warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Continue.
Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, it blew away. Why, says the Lord of hosts, because my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. For I called for a drought on the land and the mountains, on the grain and the new wine and the oil, on whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock, and on all labor of your lands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the presence of the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius.
And a New Testament correlation would be St. Matthew chapter number 6, verse 32 and 33. It says, for all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly fathers know that you have need of all of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. For a few moments this morning, I want to talk about priorities. 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 Father, thank you for the word that you sowed in my heart to minister, Father, for these next few moments. Let me speak as an oracle of God. Let me declare your truth. Let me say what you would desire for me to say. Let me give commentary where you would want me to give commentary. And let me allow you to speak where only you can speak. Lord, thank you for this house. Thank you for the house of prayer. Thank you for a people that are people of the Most High God that will hear what you say, and then they would respond appropriately. Thank you, Father, for who has been here, who you brought here today. Speak loudly, speak clearly. Give us a proceeding word that would speak to our year being the best year ever, the greatest year ever. And as you do it, we'll be careful to give your name the glory, praise, and honor. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Priorities. 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 In this new message out of Haggai and Zechariah, God demonstrates how he uses the power of two in order to complete one divine assignment. When we arrive at this portion of the sacred text, two witnesses emerge declaring one message. They are speaking the same things. And while they're speaking the same thing, they are being used to activate God's precious people unto greater works. They are speaking in order to activate God's precious people to greater works. In 1 Corinthians, Paul talking to that church, he says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you may be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. It is of the heart of God and of the mind of God for his pulpiteers, his prophets, his pastors, his teacher, to say the same thing in order that we would come to the same conclusion, that we would end up that one new man in Christ Jesus. This morning, the same thing that he wants to say to us is about priorities. Haggai and Zechariah, they possessed a proper zeal for the purposes of fulfilling God's desire to their generation. Oftentimes when we hear the word zeal, we think that is a bad thing, but when it's the zeal for the proper thing, then it is a good thing. Somebody said to me, it's a good thing. Haggai and Zechariah possessed the proper zeal for the purpose of fulfilling God's desire to their generation. They were birthed and raised in godly environment. They sanctified themselves and they were set apart for the work of the ministry. And then they functioned as priests and prophets, key players in rebuilding the Lord's house of prayer for all people. The name Zechariah, and I'm getting close to my point, so just hang on. I'm not going to be that long. The name Zechariah, it means the Lord remembers. The name Haggai means the Lord's festival or festival. When we put the name Zechariah and Haggai together, it literally means the Lord remembers the festival that he had promised to his people. He remembered the festival that he had promised to his people. He remembered both the prophecy and the promises that he had made. And in fulfilling the prophecy and the promises, he would then bring them to the festival that he desired for them to experience. I believe with all of my heart that God speaks in order to produce results. Somebody said that when we say God speaks in order to produce results. He remembers, and he remembers the festival that he had promised for his people. He had something that he wanted to do, but it had to be done in his divine timing. In 2 Peter, the Lord says, but the Lord is not ignorant. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance, as it is the day of the Lord will come. Peter reminds us that if God has promised us something, then he has not forgotten about it, and he's sure enough to do it. Zechariah says the Lord remembers. Haggai says the festival. God wants us to understand that he has made some promises. He has spoken some prophecies. And that they are still good, regardless of what we see before our eyes. I'm going somewhere, so stick with me. Too often, we are convinced to not believe what God has promised because of what we're currently experiencing. God makes us a promise. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen in 2 weeks. It doesn't occur in 3 months. God forbid it doesn't happen within 1 year. And when it does not happen immediately, we start not believing that he's going to do it. We start not believing that he has promised. We even start questioning did God really say that? But God is not slack concerning what he's promised. In the book of Numbers, he says, he's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If he's spoken a thing, then he shall surely make it good. Somebody under the sound of my voice today need to be reminded that God still is going to do it. God's still going to do it. Haggai begins to talk to the people under this guise, under this vein, under this spirit that, hey, I know it's not a lot of you, but the Lord has not forgotten what he has promised you, so go to work. And they were looking around like, how could God do what he said he's going to do with this few of us? And they had forgotten that God can save by many or God can save by few. I don't care how long it's been. If God has spoken a thing, don't let it go. If God has said he's going to save that loved one, don't write them off. If God has said your child is going to be something and they have just one bad quarter in school, don't dismiss the thing that God has said he's going to do. God still has it on his mind to make it good. May I submit to you that too easily we give up? Are y'all still here? Too easily we look for another prophetic word. Too easily we start looking, how can I bring this thing to pass? Instead of waiting patiently on the Lord and being of good cheer. May I submit to you the best and the things that are the greatest often take the longest and the most faith. Some things, it's just not going to be done overnight. I know we like 2 minutes, 30 seconds, and a full course meal coming out of the oven. That's only microwavable food that's going to drive you to your grave. If they cook steak, fried chicken, cornbread, what y'all like? Green beans, dirty rice, macaroni and cheese. If they cook that in 2 minutes and 30 seconds, I don't want it. Y'all can have it. I wanted to take, if you're going to cook me a meal, I want to smell it cooking. Okay, y'all ain't saying nothing. Somebody said, I'm making y'all hungry. I'm sorry. Hear me, guys. Too often, and this is what the children of Israel were doing in the text. They had been in captivity for a long time, and now they were just out of captivity, and they were really inferring, this is taking too long. Maybe this is not what God has on his mind. If they told the truth, they were starting to think, maybe God really can't do it. And the truth of the matter, I wish you guys would come a little bit closer and keep leaning in. Sometimes we've gotten to the point that I believe we're asking, can God really do it? And God wants to remind us that if I said it, I can do it. If I said, Sarah, you're going to have a child? I was never thinking about Hagar. I said, children of Israel, you're going to be free, I was not considering that much Pharaoh. We've got to get convinced that if God said it, I will die believing God rather than live doubting him. Somebody say real loud, God's going to do it. In Haggai, that's what he's trying to get them to see, that I'm going to do what I said. I'm going to do it in my timing. But you must align your priorities. And if you align your priority, you will see exactly what I said comes to pass. Three things that we see in the text that we will see God do what he said he was going to do. The first thing we see is in chapter 1, verse 2-6. He asked a powerful question. Are you willing to consider your ways? Now I'm getting, this is God saying, I'm getting closer to doing what I promise you going, I'm going to do. And the first thing he wants to know, now before I do it, are you willing to consider your ways? Have y'all ever discovered that whenever we're waiting on God, we never explore that the delay might be on us and not on God? And it got real quiet in this Baptist church. Have y'all ever noticed that when we're waiting on God, it's something in heaven that's holding up? God went by Sister Mary's house before he could come to mine. But the prophet in this text, he says, wait a minute, God's going to do it. But before he does it, I need you to consider your ways. Maybe the delay is because of your priority. Maybe you thought you was waiting on God, but God's waiting on you. First thing, and he says it twice, so there's an imminent message here. There is an important message, and there is a message that we must wholeheartedly look at. He says it twice. Consider your ways. Maybe your priorities are misplaced. Maybe I desperately want to do it, but you're not living like you want me to do it. Okay, I knew this part of the message would get you looking at me in this tone of voice. I want to bless you, but I got to deal with your work ethic first. I want to get you married and having children, but I got to teach you how to clean your own house first, so when you get living with somebody, you won't frustrate them because of your nasty habits. And I knew it was going to get quiet in here. I want to place you in an arena of great influence, but first I got to take you through an education process so I can get you to be properly educated in the king's manner. Today I submit to you, sometimes the issue is not we're waiting on God. It's our priorities. God said, I want to bless you financially, but you haven't gotten habitual spending out of your system yet. So I can't trust you with that check yet. I'm going to give you just a little bit just to make it by the week. And when you get your budget in place, and when you get, controlled spending in your spirit, and when you get managing wealth on your mind, then I'll release it just a little bit larger. the first thing that the prophet brings to our attention, and I don't have about 3 to 4 more minutes, and I promise you I'm going to be close to being done. He says, are you willing to consider your ways? And he says it twice. I pastor people for now close to 20 years. So I sort of kind of got an answer to this question. We're not always willing to consider our ways. The book of Judges said it like this. They did what was right in their own eyes. Can I submit to you? We like to determine what we're going to do, and then we want God to bless it. We determine the way we're going to do, how we're going to raise our children, how we're going to carry life, and then we want the grand poopah God to come down to bless it. And sometimes he says, you've just seen a smidget of what I really want to do, but because you won't consider your ways, you won't change your priorities, I really can't do what I want to do for you because your priorities are misplaced. In the text, they was living from a posture of me, myself, and I. And I was listening to a preacher yesterday morning, and he said something so profound that I thought I needed to add it to my message. He says, we fail to realize that we have a little bit of Apostle Peter in us. He says, we fail to realize that we can be revealing what only the Spirit of Father God can reveal in one verse, and 5 verses later, we can be called Satan and we savor not the things of God. How does this apply to this message? Sometimes what we're doing, Peter, is right on target. That's what God wants us to do. But sometimes 5 days later, what we're doing is just as off, nowhere near what God wants us to do. And the problem is, guys, come a little bit closer. We have trouble considering our ways. When we've determined that we're going to do something, very little changes our mind. Do y'all know most of the time what only changes or gets us to consider changing our mind is a catastrophe? And God says, I got something on my mind for you. But before you get it, your priorities have to be in line. You can't seek after the things that the Gentiles seek after and then want me to bless it. He says, you have to seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all of these things will be added. Number one, are we willing to consider our ways? That's a question that each of us have to answer. What does it take for you individually to be convinced that ain't the way you're supposed to be going? The prophet comes wrapped in a gift saying, this ain't the way of the Lord. Consider your way. The question become, and I can't wait to get the conclusion because this is mind-blowing. The prophet came to them asking them consider their ways, and it didn't take 3 fasts. It didn't take Benny or the Jakes or some prominent person coming speaking to them. It didn't take them long for them to quickly consider, maybe this is not the way that I should go. Everybody look at me if you don't mind. Are you willing to consider your ways? You know what Proverbs 19 and 21 says? There are many devices in a man's heart, but there's only one thing that'll stand, the counsel of the Lord. And y'all, please hear me as a pastor that's been doing this a long time. The stories that I hear from people, why they can't come to church, why they can't come to Bible study, why they can't come to prayer, why they can't. It's mind-boggling. And what I'm trying to learn to say now is, will you consider your ways? You mean to tell me you can take your daughter to 6 days of practice, but you can't come to church? You mean the Lord give you strength to work 120 hours in a week and you ain't in nobody's hospital, and now 3 hours on Sunday's too much? Y'all looking at me in a real strange tone now. So he gave you a job so you could never be in the fellowship of the saints. He blessed you like he blessed you, but now you're trying to figure out a way where you don't have to tithe. This is the text. I want you to read the text. You are more concerned about your own house than you are about my house. I knew you're going to look at me in that tone, because this is where we are as a culture. We are more concerned about our own ways, and God says your priorities are misplaced.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.